Is it time to stop using synthetic supplements, HRT, in our bodies? How come women in other parts of the world don't even have a word, let alone over symptoms of menopause? Can we own our own menopause? Can we challenge the aging process, cancer, heart disease, diabetes, and osteoporosis? By changing our diet, can we start taking control of our life and our bodies? These are all questions ex-stand-up comedian Sally J. Duffel asked herself, and she's here on the infamous Radio Gorgeous Red Bed to tell us some startling facts about HRT taken from her book, Grow Your Own HRT. Hi, Sally. A very warm welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Thank you. It's absolutely wonderful to be on the red bed.
Yeah, you look very comfortable. So how come there are these parts of the world where women get no symptoms?
Well, it is. Traditionally, women evolved healthily, able to menopause without the problem. And it was mainly because of diet and environment. And the diet involved lots and lots of vegetables, lots of beans, sprouted foods, and they contain plant hormones. Our gut bacteria converts these into a usable form, and they run around our body balancing up our hormones. It's a fantastic thing, and it's always been there. Plant hormones evolved before we did. We were evolving side by side with them. And in the last, 100, 200 years, in the West in particular, we've got rid of all this.
Now, how did, say if I was a maiden in the 18th century, how would I get my natural HRT?
Well, that's interesting, because in the 18th century, because I wondered this, because the word menopause was only invented in 1821. And before that, they called it climacteric, and that applied equally to men. What a lovely egalitarian concept that is. And I looked at where they might be getting their plant hormones from. And interestingly enough, back then, they had a massive bean habit. If you look at the old recipes, it was lentils and hock, mushy peas, ham and peas, lentil soup, potage, peas pudding. And they didn't have the amount of meat that we had. And they bulked everything out with beans that they soaked overnight. And these are full of plant hormones.
So legumes. So, I mean, yeah, because I go to Italy a lot, to Puglia, this area in Italy, which is very south on the tip, bottom. And when I first arrived, they said, look, the food that everybody eats here, but we kind of, you know, it's not kind of very public, it's called fave, and it's a dried bean puree.
Okay.
And they've been eating for thousands of years, again, because they couldn't eat meat. So they'd dry broad beans, and then they'd add water to it in olive oil. Imagine that, how good for it is.
Isn't that fantastic? And that was the other clue about why plant hormones were good for menopause, is that vegetarians in the 70s, and I'm talking about the ones who had to eat beans and lots of vegetables as opposed to modern ones now who can go and get their ready meal that's very processed. But when you had to eat a lot of those and fart a lot of as well, let's be honest, vegetarians didn't get the menopause symptoms either. And nor did Asian women, who have a massive bean habit as well.
Well, they eat dal every day.
Yeah, and they have lots of sprouted foods, lots of mung beans, lots of alfalfa. So these were all clues about what was going on.
Yeah. So what happened to you, Sally? What was your eureka moment when you know, how bad were your symptoms?
Mine were not terrible. Mine were hot flushes in the night, but they were worrying because they were waking me up. It's not very pleasant. I was already a bit of a sprouting expert, but I didn't have the depth of knowledge. I just knew that red clover was maybe good for menstrual problems and menopause, and I started to grow it. It worked within 3 weeks. I was so gobsmacked that I thought, I'll see if there's any science behind this. There was absolutely tons of it. And I thought, wow, you know, why is this? All these scientists are into bean sprouting, you know, and seed sprouting. And it's because the supplement makers are onto it. You know, the supplement makers know that this is the answer.
Exactly, because I was going to say, why can't I just go and buy a red clover supplement? But you'd say, that's expensive. In fact, how much is it for a red clover supplement?
Well, it is expensive. I think, I haven't looked for a while, but it was about £15 for a month's supply, which is expensive. But obviously you get different makes and you can get them on the internet, but you might not be getting...
Yes. How much do you need, actually, of red clover?
Do you know what? It's down to each individual woman. You know, if you've got mild flushes, you might need to just take a tiny pinch a day. And it would depend on the rest of your diet, because there's lots of plant hormones in small amounts in many foods. And in my book, I have listed all the foods. So it might be that you're actually getting quite a lot anyway, and you just need a little top up when you're menopausal. Or it might be that if you're living off curry, chips and pizza, you're really not getting much at all. And you're going to have to grow a lot or change your diet.
Now, everyone's a bit frightened, Sally, when you say grow, because we're really busy. We grab a bag of salad. The nearest we get to the garden maybe is buying a pot of geranium in the summer. You know, we're just not in touch with growing something on a windowsill. I mean, we do remember kind of growing cress vaguely, but you know, can you tell us? Can you demystify it for us? How do we do it?
Okay, well, the first thing is it's only going to take a couple of minutes a day, and that's probably a minute in the morning and a minute in the evening, so that's brilliant. Secondly, if you've got children, they really love growing sprouted foods because you don't use any soil and they're ready within a couple of days to a week, so that's really exciting for children. You can get them from health food stores.
Already
grown.
Yes, I've bought them quite often, those plastic see-through bags of alfalfa.
Exactly. And, yeah. But I think if you try growing them yourself, you might find it's actually easier to have them on your windowsill than in the health food shop where you've got to get down the road and grow and buy them. Basically, you soak overnight. So that involves pouring your beans and seeds in a bowl, pouring some water on. That's, okay. You know, is that 30 seconds, 40? Mm. Okay. Then in the morning, you pour them into your tray or bag, depending on what you're growing in. You know, that's another 25 seconds. And then you water them twice a day.
What are they lying on? What are they?
Well, you can grow in lots of ways. In the book, I've talked about trays, bags, and then cress, which we used to grow on blotting paper. Mm. Obviously, blotting paper has got lots of beaches and chemicals, so you really want some kind of food grade paper nowadays to grow that on. But you can also grow in kitchen implement. You can grow your mung beans in a sieve if you don't want to invest anything. Mm. You just grow them in a sieve, have them next to your sink. It's very, very, very easy.
But where would I get that paper from?
Well, you can get it on internet or on eBay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So what's the paper called?
A food grade paper for sprouting.
Okay, great. So you get the paper.
Yeah.
I've already got some mung beans downstairs, I'm thinking.
Okay. The paper's for cress.
Okay. Yeah, how would I grow mung beans?
Mung beans, you soak overnight. Mm. You can put them in a bag, a bowl, a sieve, a tub, a jar, anything, and you water them and drain twice a day, and they are ready in 2 days.
Wow, and tell me the benefits of mung beans.
Mung beans have, I don't know how many plant hormones you've heard about, but most people have heard of isoflavones, if anything.
Yes.
Okay, have you heard of coumestrol?
No.
Okay, coumestrol is the strongest plant hormone there is. It's 3 times as strong as isoflavones, and it's in the highest amount in the planet in mung beans. Mm. So if you're really in need of some plant estrogen, then mung beans are your sprout of choice. They're also really rich in vitamin C. Chinese sailors were saved from scurvy by growing mung beans when all Western sailors were dying terrible, horrible deaths. And it's got lots of other things like phosphorus, and it's 25% protein. So even if you're not growing it for your menopause symptoms, there's so many reasons to grow it. It's like a little vitamin pill.
Now, why do I have to grow it? Because I've got my mung beans because I make a lovely mung bean stew. Oh. Why can't I just have it in my normal cooking? Why does sprouting it make a difference?
Okay, so what happens when you sprout is let's say what happens when you throw things in the cooking pot. If you just throw a tiny little mung bean in the cooking pot, the hard shell contains what's called anti-nutrients. Okay, these are kind of toxins, and they're to stop insects getting on and eating the bean. Okay, so if you throw that in the pot, some of them will leach off, which is good, but you're still going to have quite a few left. And this is why beans make us fart. Because we can't digest that, okay, and it upsets our stomachs. So that's not to say that beans aren't good for us, because we've got other things in there that's good, that's okay. So sprouting, what happens is when you soak overnight, it sloughs off all those anti-nutrients. So that's the first brilliant thing. And a lot of recipes, the old-fashioned recipes, always call for soaking overnight, even if you don't sprout them. So that's the first thing you can do. And then when you sprout a bean or a seed, the first few days of germination are at a time when all the vitamins and minerals inside increase dramatically. Okay, and then they're broken down in the simplest form that's called pre-digestion in order to feed the growing plant. And this is when we eat it. And this is why sprouted foods are one of the most nutrient-dense foods on the planet.
What about things like iron and phosphorus and those sort of things?
Yeah, some of them. I mean, they're all different. I mean, in my book, I talk about 8 different kinds. Mm. But some of them have iron in them. Mm. A lot of them have phosphorus in and that, and lots of other trace elements as well. Yeah.
Okay. So I want to ask about... Actually, what's wonderful is you brought a little Tupperware pot.
So you want to try one of these mung beans you've just been talking about.
Yeah, this is mung beans.
Yeah, so that's a couple of days old. Can you see it's got a little root?
Yeah.
I'm going to try to just so... And that's without any dressing. I mean, the ideal thing is you put them in a lovely dressing.
Well, I do a kind of olive oil and lemon.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Now, what's great about this is it tastes exactly like... Do you remember when you were little and you'd find some peas that someone had grown and you'd eat them straight from the pod?
Yeah.
They've got that incredible zingy.
Beans and peas are very similar. Peas are very good for us all, by the way. So that's mung beans. Next to it here, this is red clover, which is the menopausal one. So if you can...
See, red clover, when I was reading your book, I was thinking, is it red?
Those flowers are red.
I'm going to take quite a big plum.
Yeah, go on, take quite a bit.
Okay, I'm dying to try this because is going to change my life.
Okay. From my own experience and those of women growing, it takes about 3 weeks to really kick in.
You know, I like this.
It's a salad.
It's mustardy. I love a mustard flavour.
Do you think so? I might have got you mixed up with some broccoli then, because it shouldn't be. Come over here and have the broccoli, see if that's what you're tasting.
How do you do broccoli, Mum? Because broccoli's not beans, broccoli is veg.
Broccoli is it's still a brilliant seed.
Didn't know that.
It contains something called, this is a long word, okay, glucosinolates. And glucosinolates are a natural anti-cancer.
Wow.
Okay. The Daily Mail printed a picture of broccoli sprouts and put, is this the cure for cancer? And scientists are all over it. They're trying to create a broccoli pill. And what glucosinolates do, they convert themselves into compounds that run around your body and they mop up rogue cells. You know, we all kind of mutate. They mop them up. They can stop cancer from growing. And they're brilliant in detoxifying us as well.
So broccoli comes from a bean.
No, it's not a bean. So these are seeds. So I'm doing bean and seed sprouting. They're a seed sprout. Yeah. And so these have been grown. These are about 6 days old.
And where do you buy? Do you buy these from on the internet then?
These seeds.
Yeah.
I do, because I buy sprouting seeds rather than seeds for the garden, because they might have funny things on there to help them grow or whatever.
It's good. I'm sorry, I can't sort
them. I know. I'm going to put them away.
So how did you grow those, Sally?
Okay, so for these, the seed sprouts. Seed sprouts.
Yeah.
They are grown in sprouting trays that have got little holes in the bottom, and they root through and stand up. But if you want to do that without investing any money, you can do that in a sieve, a fine mesh sieve, because they're tiny seeds, or a steamer tray, you know, because they have the holes. So if you've got things in your kitchen, you can grow them. And basically, you soak them overnight, you put them in your tray, sieve or steamer tray, and then you water twice a day. If it gets quite hot in the summer and your place is quite hot, you might need to get to 3 times a day.
Yeah. Now, how do you incorporate, how do you add these to your diet? You're saying to me you're dressing. What other ways do you, like in the winter, if you don't feel so like, you don't feel so like salad, what do you
do? Well, I always have a bit of salad with my lunch, I have to say. Even if it's a cooked lunch, there'd be a salad on the side, because I think of it as like, this is me taking my plant hormones.
Yeah.
You know, so I have salad at lunchtime and I have a smoothie in the evening, and that's me done, and then I can eat whatever I want.
Us how you make a smoothie out.
I'm running them through my smoothie maker, and I put in usually celery, cucumber, and some fruit to make it taste nice.
Yeah.
So,
Tell us what you had yesterday.
Yesterday I had apple, but I have been known to be on the kiwis just because my local supermarket does them organic quite cheap, so it's a lovely way to...
So do you eat all organic then?
I try to, because I've always been down that route, but when I did the research for the book, the research about the effects of pesticides on our body are so horrific, and I researched it for weeks and weeks, and it's never left me. And when I can't get organic, I go for... There's luckily where I live, there's an unsprayed stall in the farmer's market, and they do traditional methods.
Lovely.
And so they're not organic, but they're not sprayed. And I also... Yeah, my supermarket does some organic stuff.
Fantastic, fantastic. So how... Yeah... You said that the obsession started, but it must have really taken over your life. Can you tell me how? Because you wrote the book.
Wrote the book. And I, what happened was, I think had I known it was going to take 3 years, I wouldn't have started it. I thought I was writing a booklet to tell women about red clover. And then I discovered the mung beans had this kuma straw in it. And then I discovered broccoli had like plant progesterone in it and had all this anti-cancer fighting. And then I discovered fenugreek, which I haven't given you yet, which is great for libido. And the research, there was just so much of it. That I was just ploughing through and just getting ridiculously excited, and the book just grew and grew, and it's 60,000 words, and then I sent it out to publishers, and I knew they'd be interested. I sent it out to 9, and I got 2 offers.
That's fantastic.
That is, and I mean,
and you're not a professional writer, so that's really good.
Oh, I had written one book before about joke writing,
but quite a different subject.
Yeah, under a different name as well, my stage name. Yeah, so I was a writer. Yeah, and I used to write jokes.
Okay.
Yeah, so
that's really good. Mm. That's really good. So, can you tell us about the Japanese diet? Because we always hear that the Japanese women don't have menopause, and we all think it was down to soya. So for years, I drank soya milk. Mm. Then was a scare about 10 years ago saying, don't drink soya anymore. What was all that about?
Okay, so it's interesting. This soya's brilliant, soya's awful. Fermented soya from Japan, or Asian countries where it's fermented for 6 months, is healthy. Okay.
So what we don't have that here then, or
I
unless we went to a Japanese restaurant.
Companies are going are trying to do it here now, but the processed soya we get here, it does have some, I think it does have some plant hormones in it, but it has lots of, you remember I talked about the anti-nutrients, it's got lots of anti-nutrients in it, and the fermenting process that they go through in Japan gets rid of all those, and here it doesn't. So that is the big split. Soya's healthy, soya's not healthy. Yeah.
So would you drink soya?
No.
I used to.
I, like you, I believed. Yeah. I absolutely believed and thought I was doing myself a big favour, and I really wasn't.
So what do you have milk products?
I have oat milk. Yeah, and oat and goat. Yeah, oat and goat milk me.
But you did admit to me before we went on air that you're not a vegetarian.
I'm not, no.
But you were one. Can you tell me the transition, what happened?
The transition was reading about how we evolved and realising that actually we might need some meat in our diets, and so I decided to give myself a 6-month experiment, and I wouldn't be on bacon and ham.
No.
I would be on liver, sardines, and bone broth, and healthy cuts, and all organic and all ethical.
Yeah, so and you don't eat much of it,
but you eat
very
much.
Nice, rich, health infused meat.
Yeah, and I boil bones for 12 hours and then make a soup out of the stock, and it's absolutely... It's the taste of the past. It's absolutely amazing. Mm. So I gave myself this 6-month experiment.
How long ago?
Oh, this was 3 years ago. Mm. Within, I don't know, a week, I was going, I love this. I love it. And then within...
How different did you feel?
Because I've had some fatigue problems in the past, and it really helped with the fatigue, and it kicked in within 4 months. And not only that, I love my dinner now, and I wasn't loving my dinner.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't just a vegetarian. I was a vegetarian. I was gluten-free. You know, I was trying to stay off the sugar. So I think if you're, you know, like a junkitarian, yeah, but I wasn't getting any treats. And what's happened is the meat has become the main treat. Yeah.
Now, very interestingly, when you walked in the room downstairs I was making you a cup of tea, I said, wow, you're tall. You said, you're really nearly 6 foot.
Yeah.
And I said, but you look great in clothes. And you said, but you did. You said that you were 2 stone heavier before you started sprouting.
Well, not before I started. I started healthy eating in my 30s when I discovered I had my allergies tested, and I used to get big boils on my face, and I discovered that the boils were linked to eating wheat, and this turned me on to, gosh, food really does make a difference. So up until then, I think I thought it was just fuel. You just put stuff in, and then from then on, I started trying to eat healthy.
So and was that 20 years ago then?
25 years ago.
Okay, so no one gave up wheat then. You were really unusual.
I was a pioneer. Yeah. I was nutter.
Maybe still are a bit of a one.
And I went vegetarian, and I was eating soya because at the time that's what we thought was healthy. And I have to say, it was probably better than the diet I was on. And then slowly I went organic. As time, and then I got into sprouting. I think I got into sprouting about 15 years ago, mainly because I didn't want to take vitamin pills, and I found out that they were just so packed, densely packed, with nutrients. I thought, oh, this is a much better way to go. Until it gets to today, where, I suppose I'm almost on the Stone Age diet, which is where you eat sort of Northern European food with a bit of meat and veg, and I make cakes using healthy ingredients.
Oh, can you tell us a healthy cake?
Okay,
we all want that.
Okay, so when I do my talks, I should have brought you one today, shouldn't I? Dookie bean cake. I sprout the dookie beans, cook them.
Tell us what dookie beans are.
Dookie beans are as kind of a red bean that they really love in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Because you asked me about the Japanese diet, and I didn't fully finish that. We talked about
Well,
the soya.
Well, let's just tell us about the cake, okay, and then we'll go back to soya.
All right, so the Japanese make a lot of cake with the dookie beans because it's a creamy bean once it's cooked, and you put that in a kind of fruit cake with bananas and raisins, and I always use oat as my flour, but you can use whatever you want really, and some oil. I usually use coconut oil, and then mix it all up, and it makes a rich, beautiful cake.
I love the sound of it. It sounds like I really love kind of date bars. I love anything that's very dense and heavy and will fill you, you know, but be
that's
also
exactly
sort of,
what it does. Gosh, and so fabulous. And I put that recipe in the book along with a load of others, and what I discovered is that the Japanese have a massive bean habit. It's not just
I love it. Bean habit.
Yeah,
I've got a bean habit.
We all need a bean habit, you know.
I'm taking up beans.
They have they're really into mung beans. Their dookie beans are in their cake. They make a porridge with beans. I mean, they really. And then they have alfalfa as a sprinkle on everything. They have cress, and then they use all the other things in their herbal medicine. So they really do. It's a really big part of their diet.
So it's not just because I always heard that they had no no problems of menopause. I always thought that was associated with all the fish they ate.
It's not the fish. Just, do you know what, seaweed? Seaweed is packed with plant hormones, and they love their seaweed as well. So, but the fish they ate will be giving them other things, because to have a healthy body that's going to mature naturally and have an easy menopause, you actually need lots of nutrients in order to convert hormones, in order to keep your adrenals happy. So there's lots of different things going on in the body, and the good diet will help them all.
And do you find that eating, so you said you have sardines, what other kind of fish do you have, and how do you incorporate it?
I have wild Alaskan salmon, even though it's really expensive.
Yeah, that's your super treat.
It is, and I have it with a jacket potato and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I boil up fish bones and make a fish bone broth sauce.
Wow.
I love bone broth. It's,
Tell us how to make a bone broth then, because it's very trendy. I know it's a massive in California.
Well, do you know what? It's trendy, and it's the most ancient thing we've ever done. You know, it's what we've been doing for centuries, and then we forgot it this century.
Yeah, because there was always a pot.
There'd
be a kitchen, and there'd always be a pot. And apparently, people would always add to it.
Yeah.
But also, like, on a feast day, you'd throw a bit of bacon in. You know, yeah. That was, like, their way of getting... Because they couldn't afford. But tell us what a broth is.
So what happens is, if you boil bones for 8 to 12 hours, and then take them out and let the juice set, it's this thick, gloopy thing full of gelatin.
So like Bovril.
It's better than Bovril
because this is the real thing.
This is the real thing, and it's full of gelatin, which is wonderful for our bones. It's wonderful for our skin, and it's full of really deep nutrients, depending on what boils you. But because you can boil marrow bones, and you get the bone marrow, which is really fantastic for us. And it's got this taste of the past. When I have friends who are over 60 come around, they always remember their grandmothers having it, but my young friends don't.
Now, what sort of bones do you use? Because we make a lot of chicken stock, but we only boil it for about 3 hours. Would chicken be any good?
Chicken bones are fine, especially obviously organic, because if you're going to be really boiling the life out of them, you want it to be wonderful.
Do you do it with veg? Because when I make a stock, I chop up lots of garlic, rosemary, I put it all in and make the stock, you know, carrots and
So this is added afterwards. So then you've got your bone broth, and then you can do whatever you want with it. You can make a gravy, you can make a soup, you can make a sauce, you can do anything with it. That's your basic stock, yeah.
Wow, yeah, brilliant. And also you could just drink it as a mug of it.
You can drink a mug of it, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Really, so tell me the bones you use. So we said chicken. What else?
You can online. You can buy organic bones really cheap. Like for a couple of kilos, it's about a fiver. I mean,
you can freeze them as well.
Yeah, you can freeze them. And they've got all sorts. They've got beef, lamb, pork, ox. I've seen them all. Yeah.
So what do you normally have?
I go at the moment. The pork ones are on special offer, so I'm doing pork. It stinks the house out, and I don't care. But when the lamb's on special offer, I'll be on the lamb.
So tell me about, you know, what does the pork one taste of? Does it taste of pork?
It's not exactly pork. It's the best gravy. My last boyfriend said, "You make the best gravy I've ever tasted in my life."
Well, that's a compliment from a man, as we know, because they want a spoon for gravy.
They
men love it so
gravy
much.
And it's that deep, yes,
kind of honey, treacly.
Not honey. No, I'm trying to. It's meaty,
very savoury.
Meaty, savoury.
Salty.
Profound. Mm. Only if you stick salt in it. Yeah, it's not naturally salty. Yeah, will want some salt in it. Yeah. So
actually, we should be drinking bones. I can't believe I've come to this on Radio Gorgeous.
Yeah. We should be drinking bone broth. Absolutely.
Now let's talk about your life before Sally. Mm. You just told me just then that you had a different name when you were performer.
Sally Holloway.
Yeah. Okay. And tell us about your stand-up life.
Well, I started when I was 29 and I realised I wasn't going to get married and have children. And I thought to myself, what do you really want to do then, bearing in mind you're not going to do what everybody else is going to do? And I thought, stand-up comedy.
So
I gave it a go.
So bold.
Yeah, I gave it a go. And for a couple of years, I just did it in the evening while I worked. And then I gave up and worked properly and went on the road and became a stand-up comic, and I was one for 11 years. Yeah.
Where did you perform and who?
All around the country. Because at the time there was a circuit, which I understand is sort of breaking down a bit now, but there was a circuit that you kind of went round. So you visited every club every 6 months or something, and it gave you a chance to write a few more jokes. And then there was an international circuit as well. I played Dubai, I went to Greece, I gigged in Paris.
Now, what was your sort of comedy? Because obviously everyone's got a kind of different way of doing it.
Okay, so it was a combination of personal jokes about me, and at the time I was very single and I lived alone with my cat. So I used to joke around about that. If I got a boyfriend, I'd try and build him in. Then as we split up now, he'd have to go again. So I tried to sort of stay truthful to who I was, really. And then I'd have some topical jokes. And I liked a naughty joke, I have to say.
Tell us one that always went down well.
Okay, so I used to say, because Wonder Bras came in when I was a comic, and I used to say, I think they're fraudulent because they're offering people the world, and you can't kind of deliver, really, can you? And you need a little disclaimer underneath saying actual contents may differ from size shown.
Very, very true.
Yeah.
So in fact, Wonder Bras changed my life because I have no bosom, probably,
right,
a bit like you. and suddenly it gave me tits.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you can't keep that up, can you?
No, because I had two fried eggs underneath. Yeah. Fantastic. I really like it. So what about cress? I'm just diverting a little bit back.
Yeah,
because cress is something we really know from our childhood. Is cress good for you too?
Oh, cress is a wonder food, okay? Cress is particularly good for bones. It's rich in plant progesterone. It's always been known as a fracture healer. It's rich in vitamin C. It's rich in calcium. And it's something we always had as a side dish. It's there from the moment records begin, we're growing cress. I mean, it was just fantastic. And it's such a shame we stopped. And what happened is, I know you can get it in some supermarkets, but in many of them, it's not cress. It's rapeseed, and they call it cress salad because you're allowed to do that, and it's not illegal, okay, by adding the word salad. Mm. But what you do is you pick it up, and they have to say what's in it, and it's usually 85% cress, 85% rapeseed and 15% cress, and it doesn't have the attributes. And remember when I talked about the glucosinolates in the broccoli that are so fantastic against cancer? They all seen cress.
So where would we source some cress if we wanted to grow it on a windowsill with our child?
Okay, you can get cress seeds, I think, you on the internet. Just make sure they're sprouting seeds.
Tell us the name of, on the internet where we could go in the States, because we've got a lot of people in the States and in the UK.
Okay.
And then also you could tell us how we can buy your book.
Okay, so there is a number of places in USA. There's Sprout People, there's the Sprout House, and there's Sprout Man. He's a man who lived off sprouts in the 70s. He's a bit of a pioneer and very good on the research. And they're all places you can get sprouted seeds. In the UK, there's Akenbury Sprouts and Sky Sprouts. And you can go on eBay, just make sure it says organic sprouting. That's what you need.
So if we put organic sprouting into Google, and maybe our country, Australia, Canada.
Yeah, and you should be able to get seeds, put the seeds and buy. Yes.
Okay, and buy.
Yeah. And you will, because obviously they're advertising and they want to. And as for my book, you can get it on Amazon, you can get it from Findhorn Press, you can walk into a bookshop and order it. Yeah.
And your book, I mean, how many, you said it's so many words. Just tell us the most shocking thing you uncovered.
The most shocking thing I uncovered is that there's a different model for menopause put forward by the fertility industry as opposed to the HRT industry, which tells us that when we menopause, it's our ovaries, they can't make enough hormones, and so our brain's asking them for more, that they won't do it, so then they send more messages and then we get hot flushes. That's the model the HRT industry work on, because that says your ovaries aren't creating hormones, you need to supplement them, okay? The fertility industry, who really know about women's bodies because they're trying to make babies, okay, they say that natural menopause is just the opposite of when we start puberty. So when we start puberty, the brain gently tells the ovaries to start increasing their hormones until we start menstruating. And when we menopause, the brain gently tells the ovaries to slowly wind down until we don't. Okay, which is a completely natural symptom-free menopause. So the reason we do get menopause symptoms is if our ovaries aren't working, but that's not normal. And that's the problem with the HRT industry. They make that seem that's the only way to menopause. Okay, and it's been proven over and over again by all these people around the world, people in this country who don't get menopause symptoms, that it's not, that's not the way. We can do it naturally, and there is a natural process.
And can I just let everybody know, you look fantastic. You haven't got a wrinkle.
Oh, I'm 55.
No, we're exactly the same age as me, my
darling. Oh, right, okay.
We both look fabulous.
We do.
Okay, well, of course, because we're on Radio Gorgeous. So thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous. You have been so brilliant fun.
Oh, thank you.
Really, really enjoyed our interview. Grow Your Own HRT by Sally J. Duffel is out now, and you must go and buy it. For even more spectacular, amusing and witty women, always go to radiogorgeous.com.